Oh, yes. Welcome, everybody. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local, but no parking lot. It's the living room this time. It's a bit of a miracle. And I invite you all right on in. That was Ted Hawkins. I want to give a big thank you to begin with to our KMUN team. Nevada is in charge of picking the music today, as he always guides me through the show. Graham and Nevada made this show happen. I don't even understand what they did or how they did it, but we have all kinds of technology working, and I hope that you can hear us and enjoy the show. And I want to wish everybody losar tashidale, chukmung namoy, gonghoi fachoy. It is the Asian Lunar New Year. So, a happy, happier, safe, and sane New Year to come. And shout out to Squamish and Seashell, New York and Wyoming, and Seattle, and everybody who's listening. All the ships at sea, too, because my first guest is George Wilson. Hi, George.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Oh, good. I am happy. I'm smiling because you're at the other end of the telephone. So this is terrific. When George talks a little bit more, you'll realize he's not quite a local. So I say we generously. George is from a small fishing village in Scotland, a rather remote place. I'm going to let him tell you about it and then tell us all how he got to Oregon. He lives in Portland now, and one of the exceptional things everybody listening knows that it is getting close to the end of February. End of February always means Fisher Poets Gathering, and it will be happening this year a little differently, and I'll have some more guests next week. John and Jay are coming in. But George is exceptional because he is both a commercial fisherman and a professional artist. And I marvel. I've got one of his paintings right in front of me. I've been lucky enough to get his calendars each year. I was hoping for a new one this year, but I have a feeling it may not happen. But you could surprise me, George. So I'm looking at June, and there are ships in the sea. It's a dark sky. George has a brand new show at Imogen Gallery in Astoria. That's 240 11th and Marine Drive. And I understand it is gorgeous, which doesn't surprise me. The name of the show is Rain, and something that has never happened to me on this show before, and I've been doing this show for 20 years, I learned a brand new word reading the press release that came from Terry at Imogen Gallery. Pluviophile. I thought it was a made-up word because I couldn't find it in my dictionary. Where is that your term, or is that... The name of the show is Rain. Tell us.
What was that word? I didn't quite pick it up.
Okay, so maybe it's Terry's idea. Pluviophile. Lover of rain.
Oh, no, it's not my word. I used some, in my artist statement, I used some Scottish words like mer and ask. Yeah.
I don't know whether you have it in front of you, but I have here a quotation from you, which maybe you'll use some of these words, or maybe I'll read it later. But it's got some of your Scottish words, and you can even tell us whether this is Scottish language, whether it has to do with Gaelic, or it's just a local, regional. When you speak in, is it a dialect or a language? These words, dreich and smir and sma.
Yeah, dreich. It's a local dialect to the northeast of Scotland, and it's, they call it the Doric, but it's a dialect, really. But yeah, smir is like small, like the, it's not hard rain. It's a smir. It's almost a misty rain, a smir. And the dreich is dull, like today. It's dreich outside. It's real. It's just dreich and dull. And yeah.
So, George, where in northeast Scotland are you from?
From a small, a wee village called Port Knockey in the northeast, in the Murrayfirth coast. It's almost exactly halfway between Aberdeen and Inverness, for those who know Scotland. It's a small village of about 1,000 people.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize it was that small. And is your family still there, or did everybody emigrate?
No, it was just me that immigrated. All my family's, my dad's still there, and my brother and two sisters, they still live in the village. Yeah, everybody's still there.
Wow. Is your family still fishing?
Yeah, my brother runs the boat, and his son, my nephew, now runs the boat. My dad's 83, I think. He was 83 in December, and yeah, he doesn't fish anymore, but he still repairs nets, fishing gear, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up that way. Were most of the people in the village involved in fishing?
Yes. When I grew up, it was a fishing village. Yeah, most of the working population went on the fishing boats. It's changed now. It's not. I mean, fishing has shrunk dramatically, and then the oil industry took over. A lot of people left to go to the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only, I don't know how many fishermen in Pernodi, but it's not that much in comparison to what it was.
So my understanding is that you have been making art as long as you have been fishing. So how did that happen? There are a lot of people, even though you and I have spoken before, there are a lot of people hearing you for the first time. So please give us a little bit. It's kind of hard to imagine coming from a background like that in an insulated village and ending up here with all of your artwork, and you did go to, you ended up going to college in art as well. So how did that happen? Where did the art, the painting, come from?
Where it came from, I don't know. I don't remember a time that I didn't draw or paint. I've always done it. And I remember when I was young, maybe 5 years old, in the first class in school, that I painted a picture on a kind of large piece of paper, and the teacher took it and stuck it on the wall, and I just remember being amazed at this, and that this I was amazed and delighted. But I had always, it was just something I had always done. I never questioned it or.
But was the material in your house? Were there paints? Were there colors or crayons in your house?
Yeah, I mean, all kids have got crayons. But yeah, once I started to always do it, I always, you know, my parents always provided me with, there was always drawing stuff. I'd always had a little book to scribble in. And And then after high school, I went to art school. I trained as an artist for like 5 years, I think, 4 years for a degree, and then a postgraduate year.
Were there other people from your village who did things like that in art?
Well, there are a lot of people. I don't know anybody in my time who went to art school, but people went to university, and college, and it wasn't unusual. Then I, after graduating from art school, I kind of tried to be an artist for a few years, and that didn't work out. And I just went back to the family business, which was fishing, trawling. Yeah. And I did that for like over 20 years in Scotland.
And while you were doing that, you were still making art on your own.
Yeah, I was making art. I wasn't showing any art when I was fishing. I showed some art in some galleries after art school, some galleries in Glasgow and Edinburgh. But once I went fishing, I still did art. I didn't really show art. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how do you get from there to here?
Well, it's really through the Fisher Poets. I met the famous Fisher Poet, Mo Bowstem.
I think we've heard of her. Was she the first Fisher Poet you met?
Yeah. She was having an art show, and she had been invited across to Aberdeen in Scotland to the Peacock Gallery in Aberdeen, and they were having a series of shows on commercial fishing, and I had been involved as someone who, there were two artists who were doing a show, and they wanted photographs and also bycatch, bycatch from the trawl that we couldn't sail. They were going to cook that bycatch, and they wanted photographs. Photographs for them. They involved me in their process to make the art show, and then while I was in communication with the gallery, the curator said, "Oh, you've got to come. The next show is this Alaskan fisherwoman called Mo Bowstem. You've got to come and meet her."
And the rest, as they say, is history.
The rest, I met her, and that was in 2008, and we got married in 2010, and I moved across here permanently 2012.
We were, in addition to Mo Bowstem being one of the stars of Fisher Poets Gathering, in her own right, her creations, her poetry, her song, her leadership, and her emceeing, and her bringing in other people, including youth. I think one of her best catches was you, because that was the longest line, and to bring you over from Scotland and then have you become part of our community and our culture has been very, very rich. So how we talk about, I didn't have the words. I have just found your paintings to be, I say, luscious. They're ethereal, and they invite me in. And bring me a peace and a quiet. So this new show, Visual Poetry, tell us about how this show came about and where the focus is.
Well, this show is, I mean, it goes under the title of Rain, and I was looking around. It was really an email from Terry that said, well, we need to, you know, all art shows have to have names, I guess. It makes it easier.
Yeah.
And just, and I mean, the rain is something, well, I had been doing that, you know, the paintings in my previous show I painted from when I fished up in Kodiak Island, Uganic Bay. The rain and the low cloud, and I just love that weather, just the shift in light in the landscape. I mean, even I was in Astoria delivering paintings to Terry yesterday, and it was such a gorgeous day. I mean, it was blowing and it was raining, but it was just looking across the river and the land with the clouds there. It's just like, it's just so beautiful. I just find that just so beautiful.
There's a picture at the
end of every street in Astoria if you're looking out across the river.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like that. I like the way, there's your verbal poetry in addition to the visual poetry. So you came from Scotland and you came here, and I believe the weather is somewhat similar there. Is that true?
It's similar, yeah. It's similar to the, I guess, the Astoria. I live in Portland now, and we have that, the hot, dry spell in summer, which is, I'm still getting used to that. The sun, every day, getting up for 6 weeks, and it's going to be sunny again. It's kind of hard to me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Isn't it funny? Some people can't imagine living the way we do here. And a lot of us here can't quite imagine having all that sun. Or it's nice for a while, and then it sort of kind of gets boring. But the rain and the colors, the grays, the blues, the greens change all the time. So the coming together, the horizon and the landscape and the hills. And so tell me, how big are the paintings that you're showing this time?
Well, they're small, Carol. That's just, the largest are, I think, 12 by 16, and there's a medium size, 9 by 12, and then there's a smaller size, which is like 6 by 9. So they're small, and it's something I've been thinking about moving up in scale a long time, and I paint in watercolor, so there's I want to have the same effect in a larger scale, and it's something that has taken me a long time to work out in my head.
Why do you feel that you want to make them bigger? What's that feel like?
I used to paint larger in art school, and it was good. I just think I can do it, and I would like to do it. I think I would like to see them on a larger scale. Not necessarily a huge scale, but just larger, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember when you first came and you had some, let's see. Oh, the one that I bought way back then was only maybe 10 inches square or something. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Which is very precious, but I would look forward to seeing some of your work enlarged as well, especially since, as I said, I feel like I'm kind of disappearing into the atmosphere. So it would work well. Are you working a day job?
At the moment, no. I became unemployed again in November. So, yeah, not at the moment, no.
Okay. And do you go fishing?
I haven't been fishing for a couple of years. Last time I was up in the Yuganik Bay, Kodiak Island, set netting up there. But maybe it's time to go back. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you miss it?
I do. I mean, as you get older, the thought of doing the hard, the work and being at sea. Well, I used to be, we trawled, and it was a 75-foot steel boat, and we were away for like 9 days at a time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and we did nine, 10-day trips.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 3 days at home and then back out again. And we kind of fished that way all year round. We didn't really have seasons. We just...
What were you fishing?
And mainly cod, haddock, monkfish, some flatfish, and squid in the summertime. In the fall, squid inshore. We fished a lot of squid, yeah.
So you're painting still, and are you able to paint at home? Do you have a studio there?
In Portland, I've for like a couple of years now, I've rented a studio in Northwest Portland, and it was the first studio I've had outside my house since art school. So it's really been. It's nice to have a place to go, like get out of the house and go. So I've been really treating that as a job of work in the last couple of months, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know if you've got snow in Portland. We've got snow here, which is why I'm in Brownsmead and not in Astoria. But makes it a little harder to get around. So are you going to be here tomorrow night? Or tomorrow during the opening, or are you back in Portland now?
No, we're actually in down the coast. We're in Cannon Beach, and just for a few days. And yes, I'm going to be in the gallery tomorrow.
Okay, so tomorrow is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria, and my guest is George Wilson, who will be at Imogen Gallery, 240 11th, that's the corner of 11th and Marine Drive, wonderful gallery. And there are, I believe, something like 13, there are 13 galleries that will be opening tomorrow at different times. I'll go ahead and read some of them off to you, but... let's see, Imogen is the timing. Woo-hoo. Will be 12 noon until 7 p.m. So it'll be, the gallery will be open all day. I don't know that George is going to stay there the entire time. He might wish to roam around. Is Mo with you?
Yes, she's going to. She might pop in. I intend to be there in the maybe from 2 to 5 if it works out.
Okay.
Maybe I think Mo might pop in, but she's not gonna stick around in the gallery. But
right.
she's with me. Yeah, she's here with me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because it's always good to see her, and this is the time of year I expect to see both of you these days. So that is tomorrow, Imogen Gallery. George Wilson's paintings. The name of the show is Rain, and you'll understand why, but actually it's the feelings of the paintings. Can I ask you one last question? Because you said you've painted all your life, basically. Do you have any sense? You started very young. You just started doing it. And then the teacher put your piece up on the wall, and that felt good. That's kind of nice to have reinforcement. But what does it do for you? Because you're fishing and painting, quite different in many ways. Do they have anything in common that you feel?
For me, it's always about looking. Even fishing, it was just about looking, being in the landscape and with the birds and the weather. It's just about. It's the same. It's a lot of it is the same feeling. It's just having a wonder, just being in wonder at the outside, which is what you're looking at. You know, being on the ocean and just amazed by what you see all the time.
Yeah.
Drinking that in.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm originally from the East Coast of the U.S. And so I'm bicoastal. And I can't imagine life without the water. And it sounds like you have some of that as well. Even though you're in Portland now, there's a river. And you're close enough. You can hop over to the ocean or come up here to the Columbia.
Yeah, but I really love coming to Astoria and just, I mean, you can smell, you know, even being on the coast, you can, it's a different air. You can smell it. It feels different on your skin.
Yes.
I miss it. Yeah.
When I worked in Eastern Oregon, I could feel when I got back to Western Oregon, exactly what you just said. My skin felt, it told me, oh, thank goodness, you know. So, well, George, congratulations on the show. I'm delighted that you're here. Thank you, Terry, at the Imaging Gallery for making sure to bring George back. I think you've done a number of shows. What is it, every other year is it that you come, or? Every few years?
Yeah, I think this is my fourth show, and it's two years at Fisher Poets Time. Yeah, I'd like to thank Terry also for the work she puts in.
So this show will be up through Fisher Poets, which is happening virtually, like most things, but that's the beauty of the art in the galleries. You can see the work on the website, in this case, Imogen Gallery, Imogen.com. But you can also walk yourself into the gallery wearing a mask and not too many people in there and be in the presence of the art without a screen in between. Thank you so much, George. Enjoy the rest of your time on the coast. And I look forward to seeing you and your paintings.
Thank you, Carol. And Moses, hi.
Great. I'm waving to you, Mo. Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
And you're listening to KMUN Arts Live and Local from Brownsmead. Got some more music for you from Al Green. Thanks for being here, folks. Well, KMUN is where you want to be, and it is a magical place, and a lot of that is because of the people who are taking care of all of us, all of our community. Big thanks to the staff and all the volunteers as well. Today, a special big thanks to Graham in Nevada for making this show happen. And before I go to my next fabulous guests, whom I'm very excited about, I just want to let you know that tomorrow, as we said, is Art Walk. There are 13 galleries, including Imogen, also including my guests from last week. And you can hear that interview by going to coastradio.org and clicking on podcast, Arts Live and Local, Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts, with work by Lisa Ackerman, Dave Ambrose, Alex Trevino, and TKO, and my guest from last week, Natalie Orr. And also the Riversea Gallery has monoprint impressions from the Oregon coastline, At the Wild Edge with Duncan Berry, documentary emotional connection with a diverse and fertile range of beings from a variety of habitats. Sounds interesting. Also, the Cambium Gallery, 1030 Duane Street, is showing Andy Sterling and Kirista Trask, Magnetic Variations. I'm going to read this to you because I don't really understand it. You may. The angular difference between true north and magnetic north at a particular place, a collection of daily and weekly sketches documenting the variety of ships, this one's for Joanne, that move through Astoria's port. Mixed media artwork inspired by rhythmic patterns found in meandering riverbeds, shifting earth layers, marks of time passage, and topography will also be featured. That's 1030 Duane. And right next door is Astoria Visual Arts featuring When Crab Was King. Some of you may have seen this in the past. The rise and fall of the Kodiak King Crab Fishery, 1950 to 1982. A traveling exhibit with photographic portraits of people holding images of themselves taken decades before. And that gallery is open to 11 to 4. So you need to check and see who's open when. We've got Oscar DeMasi, Forsythia, Oregon Gypsy Gallery. Brumfield Gallery has ceramist Shanna Flegel and painter Molly Cliff Hiltz, whom we talked about a few weeks ago. Rest in peace. West Coast Artisans Gallery with glasswork by John Santillano, and Terry Remington, wonderful, and Janet Hutchings, and they are 160 10th Street. That 10th Street, as man, has that come alive. And Paul Paulson and Angie Wilt Galleries as well. And then LCQC, the Lower Columbia Q Center, is at 171 West Bond Street. That's a new address for them, featuring several new and local artists within the LGBTQIA+ community. Second Saturday, tomorrow. Okay, and now, here on KMUN, possibly for the first time, I'm not sure, my guests are from Seaside High School. They are presenting their first play, virtual play. It's called Game of Tiaras, a stay-at-home play. And my guests, I have three guests here. More of that KMUN magic, folks. So when I call out your name, please say hello. I wish I could see you, and that will happen someday. So I have Kaya Taylor. Hi, Kaya.
Hi.
Oh, good. You are there. Great.
Yes, I am. Sorry.
And Kaya, I want to know, do we blame or credit you for bringing the snow? Because I understand you're the snow queen in this play.
Yes. I would say credit me. Snow is wonderful.
It is beautiful. Yes, it is. Good. Okay, I like your attitude. And close by to you is Mary Barnes. Hi, Mary.
She's actually not able to attend today because she was called in for work.
Oh, okay. So Mary was our tech person. We had two actors, and then Mary was the tech person. So you guys will have to explain what all you did. My second guest is Ava Bailey. Hi, Ava.
Hello.
And you are playing a dwarf and Pocahontas, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, now I'm confused. First of all, Game of Tiaras. And the explanation is that it's a cross between Game of Thrones and King Lear. Oi.
That is true.
Okay, I have never seen Game of Thrones, I know. I don't know if that makes me un-American or what, but I don't have a TV, and I never watched it. So I read the names of all the characters, I thought, but I don't see Pocahontas. So I would like either you or Kaya to tell us, give us a synopsis of this play.
Well, I can first explain why you don't see Pocahontas. Basically, there are three other princesses, and listed in the script, they are called Other Princess 1, 2, and 3. But when our costumes and our lines relate to characters like Pocahontas, Jasmine, and Princess Leia.
Aha. Okay, Princess Leia, that's from...
Yeah,
okay, that one sounds familiar. Okay, so now tell us, what is this play? And by the way, who wrote it? Do either of you have the name of the playwright? I think
David.
I wrote it down somewhere, but...
Don Zelitis.
Okay. So this is a... This is not a locally created show or a written show, but you've made it your own. So tell us about it, please.
So it is based off of King Lear, in which a king decides that he is going to give his kingdom, give his crown to the daughter who loves him most. And so that is true in this play. He goes through a midlife crisis and decides that he's going to divide England between his three daughters.
Oh, boy.
yes. And so it is all about how they are vying for the throne. But they are not the only princesses in the play. There is also a mermaid and her three half-sisters, the other princesses, and there is also Snow White. And so all of these princesses are, the characters in the play are kind of making fun of Disney and how Disney has portrayed the fairy tales.
Ah, I see. Okay. So were you familiar with this play before? And who chose it, by the way?
Well, our director did, so Susan Bartline.
Okay, so Susan Bartline is the director. She also is a teacher at Seaside High School?
Yes.
Okay. And and she or someone at the high school did a great job of putting this play on the Coast Radio or KMUN.org website, which is where I found it, because I didn't know about it. And that's why I wanted to make sure to give you some airtime to talk about it. I understand there are sixth to 12th graders in this play. Is that right?
That is true. The major roles and or leads are all played by high school students. And the more ensemble roles are middle schoolers often.
Okay. How's that been? Have you guys actually worked in a space together at all, or has this all been done online, virtually, et cetera? I don't even understand how you did it. So tell us.
Kaya, you want to take that?
Yes, thank you. So essentially what we did is we all auditioned for our parts on Zoom. We previously picked up an audition packet from the school, and then we learned all of our lines at home, and we did rehearsals over Zoom. And then when we came to film it, everyone went to the school and we all sat in different classrooms, so we were socially distanced.
Wow.
And acted out our parts with our props on our Zoom calls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. How did that feel? Have you done theater before, by the way, Kai?
Yes, I have. I've been in theater for 2 years now. I started as a sophomore and have been in, I'm a junior now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in, what is it? Three productions, now four with the one coming up. And it was incredibly strange because
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the powerful parts about theater is coming together with a group of people, some of whom you never even met before, and creating this theater family. So you were having to create this ensemble without being in each other's space. How did it end up feeling? It started out feeling strange. Did it feel strange the whole time?
Yeah. So theater family is so important to me. My theater family is my whole world, and I pretty much love everyone in theater. So not being able to see them like face to face and not being able to practice my lines with them face to face and really see our stage chemistry, it was kind of saddening and a bit frustrating at times, but like in the end, I did really enjoy it. And it's really nice to still be able to do theater, even if we can't be in person.
It's fantastic. I mean, Broadway shut down and here's Seaside middle and high school opening up. I'm very impressed, very impressed. So the Snow Queen, were you one of the daughters? Is that one of the princesses?
Yeah, there are three main princesses, which is Belle, Cinderella, and the Snow Queen, a.k.a.
Okay.
Ellie.
Right.
And so they are the direct daughters of the king.
Mm-hmm. So you had to act out all these emotions, even though there was nobody there. Is that right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. You know, many years ago, I didn't even think of this until just now when you talked about how hard it was because these are your close friends. Many years ago, my family was, of all things, in Disney World. And my mother, may she rest in peace, was chosen. She sat in a chair, and she was allegedly being interviewed by some famous TV person. Only the other chair was empty, and she had to respond to this empty chair. And it sounds a little bit like what you're doing now. Good for you. Good for you. How about you, Ava? You're a dwarf. I don't know where that comes in. Oh, there's Snow White, so there must be dwarfs. And Pocahontas.
Exactly.
Are you one of the lesser or one of the secondary princesses? Is that?
So, yes, Pocahontas is, yes, one of the, as you said, secondary princesses. I am part of a posse of sorts to the mermaid, who is nearly on the same level as the major three. And that basically, I would describe our play as a comedic tragedy. So,
good.
Death is used for laughs. And so I play two characters because one of them dies.
Oh, I see. Well, if Shakespeare is involved, as in King Lear, I expect everybody to die. So I don't
just
know
about.
If that happens, but I did read in the write-up, it said, I was laughing. I'm all by myself, and I'm sitting here laughing. It said, gut-wrenching plot twists of Game of Thrones and soul-numbing despair of Shakespeare tragedy. And I thought to myself, what the heck? Now, who would want to come and see that? But the way you just described it was quite different. So,
yes. I gave you the honest explanation,
yes.
per se.
Yes. So we're gonna have an opportunity to laugh and enjoy this. How many folks are actually, do you know how many students are in the play?
Nearly 20, right, Kaya?
Wow.
Yeah, I believe like 20 to 30, around there.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. And Ava, do you have a background in theater as well?
Well, no professional background,
no,
but
no.
I have been participating yearly in one acts through, and I'm going to shout out to Northwest Children's Theater in Portland. Please support them. I love them.
Wow. Nice.
Every summer. So it would be a 2-week program where we would learn a play and then put it on the Saturday at the end, which was super fun.
So why? What do you like about doing theater? Let's start with you, Ava.
You get to be whomever you want to be. As my mom describes it, it is pretend for big kids. But I think it's really fun to try to get to know your character, especially if you're playing a character who is the opposite of your own personality. That can be really fun. And to just throughout the rehearsal process to make a number of creative decisions and really get to know your character and figure out, okay, I'm going to really act this part big, and this part I'm going to be more subtle, this part I'm going to be really mad, this part, oh, my character's happy, you know, because not all of that's written in there. That's the creative part of it.
Nice. And how much freedom did your director, Susan Bartlin, give you?
It's a pretty ensemble cast, so we had a good deal of freedom.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to make those decisions, and if she wanted to change it, she could, but I think that's what the director often does, although this play had so many aspects to it with the virtual part. What about you, Kaya? Why theater? Because you spoke beautifully, passionately about your theater community. What about actually, could it have been any other community? Could it have been a bicycle riding group or a sports group or something like that? Or is there something about theater that speaks to you?
Thank you. It's definitely something about theater, performative arts in general. I also sing for the choir and I do a cappella as well. But just the way you get to know people in theater, like backstage and everything, it's like completely different to how you get to know people regularly, because you're all like, you're all getting about to lay yourself on the line to perform this for a bunch of people. So you all kind of bond within that.
Yeah. So it's the coming together as well. So have you folks been doing your schoolwork virtually as well, or do you go to school for that?
No, we do not go to school. We've been doing all of our schoolwork virtually.
How you doing? How's your mental health these days?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Oh, maybe I should. I don't want to open the Pandora's box because I'm not there to help. So has it been tough?
It definitely has been tough, but I'm maintaining good grades and I am still able to socialize with people within my own COVID bubble, like my girlfriend and a few of my friends. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah. Ava, do you want to answer as well?
Yes. I am a very social person naturally, so this has definitely been hard on me, but like Kaya, I'm still maintaining good grades. And I would say that this pandemic, just because of the lack of interaction, has forced me to think a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take that how you will, but
that's
one thing that I have noticed about this pandemic.
Has it given you a chance to think about the future as well, or are you staying in the present? Because I see you're, Ava, you're a sophomore, so you've still got a couple more years at the high school.
Yeah. This is kind of personal, but I'm just somebody who is often anxious about the future anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I would say the pandemic just kind of added on to that. But
yeah.
No, I'm doing pretty well. One thing is that I may not be talking to people as much, but I am talking to a wider range of people. So there are people who have messaged me through social media that I might not have been friends with before the pandemic.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Do either of you use Zoom or webinars or anything like that to travel across the world or across the country? It's a lot cheaper.
I don't use Zoom particularly, but I use other apps such as Discord to contact people that are, I don't know, in England. I have friends in England, Canada, Brazil, like everywhere. And it's really nice because I don't think that I would have if I hadn't, if this pandemic wouldn't have come about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that Ava speaking?
That was Kaya.
That was Kaya. Okay. You're both very articulate and poised, and also you both sound as though you could handle the social aspect. So I can imagine that it could be tough being confined. It's been a year now. So are you looking forward to the world opening up again?
Definitely.
Very much so.
Okay. Well, I am too, and I hope that we are all able to do our part to wear our masks, double masks now, and socially distance, and the example that my two guests have just set. I am so impressed. Kaya Taylor and Ava Bailey, who are playing. Now, you know what we didn't say? Oh, my goodness. The play is Game of Tiaras. Is that how you pronounce it, Tiara or Tiara?
Tiara. Tiara, whichever.
Okay. Sure. A stay-at-home play. And the way you can access this, because it's streaming. It started already streaming. I believe it started this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, it did. You can actually, hold on, let me pull up the email I got. You can actually stream it from, you can either go to the Facebook page, Seaside High School Drama, and click the link there, or you can go to www.broadwayondemand.com and stream it from there. Tickets are $10 for individuals and $20 for household, and you can watch it however many times you want while it runs. And it runs from today until the 18th on midnight.
And all of the money that, I don't usually have people give prices, but I want to let everybody know that all the money that comes in is going into the school. And so you can feel good, enjoy the performance, and share it with your household or just on your own as much as you like. You can also go to coastradio.org and get the information there, how to access the play today through the 18th. Thank you so very much. I wish you both the best of luck, and I look forward to meeting you someday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Folks, you've been listening to Arts Live and Local. Quickie to let you know that the Columbia River Maritime Museum has opened as of today. Hoffman Gallery in Manzanita is full of good stuff. Astoria Art Walk, we talked about. Also, John Stoll and Rob Sheps are performing tomorrow evening from 5 to 8 at the Sea Crab House in Seaside. And the Southwester is streaming their music. Ilwaco High School Band has a rummage sale tomorrow from 10 to 3 with money going to the music department. And Sunday, you can go to the Newport Symphony Orchestra at 7 p.m. And do check out coastradio.org and check out all the things that you can listen to and be part of in this community. Stay safe. Remember that wearing a mask is an act of love. That's from Amy Goodman. And I love that I am able to be here with you. Thank you to Nevada and Graham and to all the staff and members of KMUN. 91.9 KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org. Stay tuned, folks.